Okay, thank you very much. This is not easy, I can tell you. And I'm going to, when we had this discussion of those terms, evidence and so on, I'm sure that you feel that I'm going to give you a lot of banalities, but I'm trying. The title of my talk indicates that somebody believes that humanities matter in medical education, and my task is to tell you why. And you could also have a title like Humanities Matter in Medical Education. Do they matter? Really? They don't matter. May matter. And you could ask, what kind of evidence do we have? All these possibilities came to my mind when I started reading a lot of recent literature on humanities. These are controversies. For instance, somebody tells that empathy can be taught. Another scholar is convinced on the fact that it cannot be taught. So I'm trying to give you some fundamental background on this question. Here I have a list of some trends in modern medicine that ask for implementation of humanities. And I think, for instance, the rapid development and the fact that we rely on, or we have the impression and belief that possibilities are unlimited, and we are going to get new and better and better knowledge and new methods of treatment. Another reason is that medicine has been the humanistic basis of medicine, which is a reality, has been neglected. Also, the economic burden of the health service is one problem. It means in practice that you have less time to encounter with the patient. Probably you don't have time to listen to the stories and the narrative identity of medicine is lost. Also, the patients have changed due to the digitalization of our society and easy access to information about diseases and diagnostics makes the patients very, very well informed. They easily become consumers, and doctors are forced to be managers. We were talking about evidence-based medicine. I don't exactly know what it is, but anyhow, much of our practice is based on evidence-based medicine and guidelines that are based on so-called evidence, which means that we are treating diagnoses instead of patients. Although the majority of patients do not fit into the paradigm of evidence-based medicine. So this is a problem that should be taken into account when we think of implementing humanities in our curricula. I think it's important to understand that diseases are related to people's social background, values, present living expectation and fears, which could be adapted through, let's say, literature or some other humanistic approach. Another reason is that it's important to understand that people may suffer from sickness or illness without having a disease. And this relates to the discussion that was just completed. Also that diseases may appear without illness or sickness. And very important is, of course, to understand that to suffer is very individual and varies irrespective of the diagnosis given. What is the relation between doctors and humanities? Traditionally, the medical profession looks down on humanities because humanities do not use quantitative research methods and do not produce so-called exact knowledge. And experimental research with comparative methods, randomized clinical trials, are considered the gold standard and the only method which can give the truth. I don't know if you experience this, but I do anyway, and I think this has not changed since my times as a student. Also probably due to the fact that that knowledge has increased a lot, and there is a lot of things, facts that should be taught to the students, and there's no time for, let's say, softer approaches. Raimo was telling about Abraham Flexner, who was the father of modern clinical teaching. But it was already in 1910 that he pointed on this dilemma in medicine. There's the scientific part of it, and then the other part. And it's interesting that about 100 years later, a second year student from the United States, I don't remember the paper where this was quoted from, but he pointed to the same problem. So 100 years had not changed much the dilemma. It still was there and is in my mind also still present. And we can go on and point on different causes why humanities should be implemented in the medical education. here is person of this. Humanities look at human beings from a holistic point of view. What makes a human being? And they try to define what is a good life. How we fit together and fit together the demands of individuals and the society. And all these things are potentially present when we implement humanities into the medical curriculum. It's also important to notice that humanities and a humanistic worldview enriches a doctor's day if he can look upon people's living and stories and what they tell. Every day is full of interesting views. The encounter with patients reveal a multitude of fascinating details of human life every day. And humanities may teach you to sense patients' feelings and reactions, which is a prerequisite for bringing comfort and hope to the patient. These are the disciplines and topics that are usually mentioned. First of all, ethics and history of medicine, but also philosophy and philosophy of medicine in this case. Literature and creative writing, fine arts, music, drama and movie, religion, anthropology, and professionalism. They all have influence, more or less. I personally think that literature and movie are the strongest arts that have influence on people's thinking. The literature is full of various examples of how to implement humanities. Many scholars think that electives are the most important way, the best way, either compulsory, which are built in the curriculum and you have to take some amount of electives and you can choose humanities. And they can also be optional, offered outside the curriculum of the faculty. Compulsory theme-based modules or compulsory integrated modules. That's the way I have tried to do it, and of which I have some experience. It could be a joint effort by members of the medical faculty and humanities experts working together, or it could be executed by medical faculty alone or by humanities alone. And I think this last possibility is the worst. Students usually don't like foreigners coming to teach them. We used to have Pekka Nous and Raimo, some ethical experts coming from Helsinki and talking to Tampere students and taking them as fools and students that don't understand anything, and it was not very popular. And I think this is a very important remark. What method should we use? I have not found any evidence as to the best method of choice. My own experiences are here. This is a list, short list of my experiences. You should have some measures that are needed to break down the resistance of the faculty. They are not easy to find. And for the moment, we don't have in Tampere any hope of breaking the resistance, I think. And this is also a discipline that is cut down when faculty is short of money or personal resources. It's very hard to find willing members of faculty. We have been discussing this with Raimo for a while and trying to identify some colleagues working in the faculty without success. And as Pekka told us, some of this material has to be smuggled or integrated in the ordinary curriculum to be successful. And that's how it was implemented in Tampere for many years. And I had the power to implement it as I was dean for 12 years. And nobody dared to resist me. But there's no aftergrowth, which may be my fault, but it's a sad thing anyhow. I will tell you about some experiences that I have had while implementing humanities into a problem-based integrated curriculum. And this is, I think, a very, very important aspect of the drama. It's easy to implement in an integrated problem-based learning curriculum. It's much more difficult to do it in a traditional curriculum where fundamental or basic themes are taught and clinical themes are taught separately. In an integrated curriculum, you have both basic and clinical, and any other, also social sciences and so on. During many years, we had a voluntary elective that we called Arts and Medicine, which was a series of seminars together with students from the humanistic faculty. They were mostly studying literature or drama, which is represented in the University of Tampere. Usually 10 to 15 students were participating from both faculties. Usually every month we gathered for 2 hours, and the students wrote learning diaries and essays on the themes that were handled. The problem was that participating medical students were those that were already interested in humanities or practicing themselves in music, writing, or arts in general, which means that those that should have needed humanities, so we thought at least, were not attending. But this was a success, and as the years went by, people outside the faculty joined our discussions, and the lecture rooms were crowded. Then some other examples of how we have implemented humanities into this curriculum. Every year new students were provided, together with a letter of admission, a letter of acceptance, with a copy of a fragment from a novel, and we're told that this will be discussed at the introductory module. And the fragment was from Mauri Sarjola's book, Ei loitsu eikä rukous. I don't know if the Finnish people here know this book, but the story is about a young man coming from after the war had ended. He comes home and finds his father, together with the country doctor, drinking and talking, and the father had retired from the railways, and when the son comes home, he says, "Son, I have arranged a job for you at the railways." And the son says, "I don't like this arrangement. I have decided to become a doctor." And then the country doctor says, "You are foolish. You don't know what it means to be a doctor. It's a shit to be a doctor. You meet a lot of suffering and people are not very thankful." But the son resists and says that, "Okay, I have seen much suffering. I have seen much death. But I have decided to be a doctor." And then when the students come the first day and I have called them welcome, then we start this discussion to discuss this fragment. And there are 100 members in the lecture room, and the discussion takes about 2 hours. And they are very, very interested, and they are brave, although they don't know each other. And they talk about devotion, altruism, and what it means in their mind to be a good doctor. So this was a very successful, in my mind, very successful implementation of humanities for, and I know that they remember this, since when they were graduated, we were talking of this event that was 6 years back, and they still remembered it and found it useful. Another example that was not as successful was for the fourth year students, when they in the spring left for summer holidays, they were provided with a copy of William Styron's book, Darkness Visible. I don't know if you know this book. He's telling about his falling in a severe depression, how he meets unempathic professionally bad doctors in his experiences is this, and then he describes all problems with depression, also about his self-destructive tendencies and how it influenced on his family and his capacity to write and work, and then finally how he was healed from the disease. Also the side effects of the drugs that were given at that time are very well described in this book. I don't know if you know William Styron. He is more famous of his book Sophie's Choice. But the discussions were then started in autumn when the students came back. And we discussed this book in groups of about 25 students. So there were four discussions. And present were a psychiatrist and either me or some other teacher. And when I had thought that the focus would be on description of the depression, which is masterfully written, or on the bad behavior of the doctors that he met, half of the discussions went quite wrong, because they focused on the book and they said that this is a very bad prose, this is not a good fiction. And the main was lost. I mean, the main topic should have been depression or meeting with bad psychiatrists. So I have a good experience and some bad experience in implementing literature or fiction. Another example of successful implementation is here, and it was implemented during the infection module, and the students got a reprint from an article that was written very, very soon after the SARS epidemic about the experiences in a Toronto hospital where personnel both took part in the treatment of these patients and also denied partaking. And this was a very good starting point for discussion, because practically all aspects, or key ethical aspects, were reviewed in this article. And then about movie. Medical students that were graduating, this was the last encounter with the faculty. And we were watching the Red Bird by Kurosawa. I don't know if you are familiar with this. It's a 3 hours movie about a doctor in a Japan village. And it's very impressive and contains a lot of matter for discussion about professionalism. And usually a lively discussion was provoked by this movie. And the discussion was very, very lively. And I think it was important for the students that were a little bit afraid of going out working as new doctors. And they valuable advice from clinical professors and teachers that joined the discussion. Okay. Then you can ask, how much evidence do we have that humanities really matter in medical education? And my experience is that when I have looked at recent literature, the evidence of long-term impacts are very sparse. The majority of papers deal with descriptions of various courses and arguments in favor of implementing and how to overcome existing impediments. Only a few experimental studies have been performed. But it's understandable because of difficulty of assessment, and the studies are usually have had problems with recruitment and methodology. And usually these are survey studies, and the response rates are very low. So it is not easy to find evidence. I don't know how these studies in fact should be arranged, how they should be done, if you want to find any evidence. These Danish authors have made some kind of systematic review of what has been written on this topic. And they searched the literature between January 2000 to December 2008, and they found more than 1,000 papers dealing with the subject. 245 were left for scrutiny. And this is the distribution of the articles. And as you can see, the majority are descriptions and evaluations, and only 9 out of this amount were seeking evidence of long-term impact. This is one of those studies. This was done at Harvard Medical School, which changed to a problem-based integrated curriculum in 1985. And the students were divided into two different groups of 50 students each. They had voluntarily chosen either the new pathway, which was this integrated problem-based curriculum with humanistic elements inside, or they took the traditional curriculum, and then they were compared to each other in 1985 to 87. And these are the main results. The most important thing was that about 40% of the new pathway students went into primary care or psychiatry, compared to only 18% of the traditionally educated students. And the new pathway students also related their ability higher than did traditional students in some management of patients and managing with psychosocial problems and practice of humanistic medical approach. And the authors conclude that humanistic medicine can be taught and learned. But I don't know how much was dependent on the new curriculum and how much was dependent on that it also included humanistic topics. This is another study that is more recent, published in Journal of General Internal Medicine this year, and it comprises of all students that were enrolled at 5 American medical schools during 2014 and 15. And they were invited to the study by email to report on their exposure to humanities. And these are the topics. And then they completed rating scales measuring personal qualities. And these were very well rating scales were well documented earlier. And the result was that exposure to humanities was significantly correlated with positive personal qualities, empathy, tolerance of ambiguity, wisdom, emotional appraisal, self-efficacy, and special skills, but inversely correlated to components of burnout. So believe if you want. I'm not convinced, but this is the result. The main limitation of this study was that only about 24% of the invited students responded. Okay, I will end with a personal comment. First of all, I would like to call this humanities for medicine, not medical humanities, because I can't understand how humanities can become medical. But I understand that humanities can be implemented in medical teaching. And my history is that I was a devoted believer since early 90s. And I implemented this almost alone, of course together with my colleagues, during more than 10 years, also after my retirement in 2001. But the sad thing is that there is practically no aftergrowth, and faculty is not interested in continuing with this kind of experimentation, as they call it. But I'm less certain about the impact than before, due to the scarcity of experimental evidence and due to the controversy that exists among many scholars that are writing a lot. But do we need experimental evidence? Do we need it at all? Or should we believe that this is important? I have an anecdotal piece of evidence. I meet former students in the street occasionally, and they come to me and are repeatedly thankful for having been directed towards the significance of humanities in medical practice, and that may suffice for me. I'm always glad when they praise me. Okay, thank you.